Hey, everybody, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us on Patreon this month, kicking it off with Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Amanda Harris,
Andrew Tillman,
Benjamin Brown,
Brett Macris,
Brian Hall,
Chelsea Mack,
Clemens Soyaluer,
Curtis LaRock,
Demand Ryan,
Dan Snow,
Daniel Fuentes,
Danny Heck,
Danny Ollie,
Dennis Scott,
Eduardo Martinez,
Aaron Dorian,
Jeffrey Risher,
Gerard DeVillier,
Hugo Sanchez,
Jason Williams,
Jessica Ashcraft,
Joe Crack,
John George,
Jonathan Jong,
Joseph Kelly,
Joshua W. Bronson,
Kalen Swift,
Karen Comstock,
Catherine Anderson,
Kendall Wilson,
Kevin Kleinrock,
Kieran Broderick,
Lee Brown,
Lucas Sink,
Mark Carrillo,
Mark Kiefer,
Mark Zeller,
Matt Fennell,
Megan Thigpen,
Michael Sturgeon,
Mitchell McDonald,
Nick Broughton,
Nick Grayson,
Omnia Soul Art,
Perry Talafiero,
Pip Pete 2020,
Bribe Time Pauly G,
Rahadian Sastrawardio,
Tamela Rush,
The 12 Banch,
Tiagro Nascimento,
Victor Perez,
W. Blaine,
Will Buchanan,
and Zika's Viral Comics. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. Now enjoy the live show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
That's our Man in the Booth, Booth Man
Prime. Booth Man Prime. That's right.
And guys, I'm very excited about this week's show because we have a sponsor.
Sponsorship.
Did you know that?
That's it. Finally. Now it comes rolling in.
That's why you use that money to get a haircut, I see.
Exactly.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, all of our money goes to Alex's looks. Yeah,
guys, if you want to sponsor my haircut, you can check out the info at patreon.com/comicbookclub. This week's show is sponsored by Skilly World. It's a new trivia app.
Skilly World. Yeah.
Yes, it's spelled. Do you want me to spell it for you?
Nope.
Pete? Don't. Please don't.
No, I'm going to do it anyway.
In my mind, it's SKI and then like a bunch of L's and then like 18 I's afterwards.
It's very close. In fact, it's actually SKILLI World. They're on the App Store. Yeah. It's a true or false trivia tournament. So if you played other trivia apps, not going to mention it.
Don't name any names. We have the star of trivia here who's fully endorsing Skilly World, I believe.
Yes, you would actually like this, Pete. I played it last night. They had general trivia questions.
All John Candy based, I'm assuming. No?
I don't think they have a John Candy night. They do have a Batman night coming up over the weekend. Woo! So maybe like that. But this is general trivia, so it's all true or false. So it's basically like 50-50 chance.
You can either be smart or just guess.
I was a dumb idiot.
That's
Do you
true.
Want to hear the question that got me out?
Yeah.
What is it?
So true or false, Peter Jackson directed all four of the Lord of the Rings movies.
False.
Yeah, I said true.
You idiot! Mr. Haircut thinks he's so smart. He's stupid now.
I've got a haircut. I went to Cornell.
His hair's nice, but his brain is bad.
The annoying thing is they give away $500 real money, and so I lost out on that. They do it every night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, including tonight when we're taping the show. Like I said, there's a variety of topics.
You can
get it on the App Store. I don't believe they have it for Android quite yet, but if you sign up on the App Store, you can get your first tournament for free. And don't forget to rate and review Skilly World. You can also check them out on Instagram at Skilly World, which is just a reasonable number of L's and I's.
Okay, beat. Nice. Right. True.
But thank you so much, you guys, for sponsoring the show. Definitely check it out. Maybe I'll see you there on the Batman trivia night.
False. You won't be there.
No, wearing a Batman shirt. Look.
He's taking off his shirt.
Here's more money going into Alex's pocket.
Yeah, that's cool. They sponsored the show. I got a haircut and a shirt.
Solid gold and obsidian Batman insignia underneath his shirt.
Oh, boy. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is one of our favorite guys to have here. He is an editor at Marvel Comics. He's currently working on the X-Men line, which they're releasing a couple of books.
Yeah, there's been some
plus
books.
Plus, he's been there with us for since kind of we started.
Yeah, he's our friend.
He's an OG.
Right, but he's editing X-Men comic books, but most importantly, he's been on the show a bunch of times.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to take away from his job, but like he's also like...
It sounds like you're trying to take away from his job.
No, I'm not trying.
No, he's a friend first and an editor at Marvel Comics second.
Thank you, Justin.
But we're not going to talk about our fucking friendship here, are we? Because that's not what we came here
to
do.
I don't know. I think it might be over after he hears Pete's opinion on House of X and Powers of X. So ladies and gentlemen, Jordan D.Y.
Jordan D.Y. Come on.
Right.
Welcome
right
back.
Here. So
welcome
great
back.
To see
Hello.
You.
Cool
Love
t-shirt.
Shirt, sir. Love the shirt. Looks like you've been to comicbookclub.threadless.com to get your shirt for Comic Book Club.
Man, I sure have.
We've become corporate, you guys.
Yeah, Alex sold out ever since he got his hair cut once.
And just to be clear, I did. I bought it myself. They didn't give me a free t-shirt, just so everybody knows. I supported them.
This is
because we're friends first, and that's what we're here to talk about.
That's right. Yeah. If you say anything about an X-Man, that's wrong. You need to only talk about our long history of friendship.
Jordan, I want to talk about X-Men, though.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, before we end, I do want to thank, I want to thank Jordan for being a longtime supporter of the show. Like, he, way back when we started, would be here all the time, and he was such an amazing person and supported us.
And now he barely comes at all.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a family and stuff.
He has
All right. I have a family, and I'm still here. Yeah.
I think in this case, we're wrong. He's right,
that's true.
We're wrong.
Yeah, he's raising his kids right.
I bought Pete those slippers.
That's right.
Like, did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a huge reveal right there.
Did you know that he hid prizes in them for 5 years?
That's not a joke.
I did not. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
He's never washed them.
That's not true. I have professionally cleaned.
Well, I think last time I was here, there was the hidden trivia thing.
Yep.
Did somebody want it? Wow, that's great.
Yes. I mean, we should say that we went through the whole ordeal with the Punisher quiz. That was finally unlocked. John, over there in the audience, won.
He won. That's right. Won. Awesome.
The super prize. And that kicked off our second secret trivia quiz.
What?
Which was the Cypher trivia quiz.
That's right.
By Pete?
No, me.
Oh, you did it. Okay.
I did it.
Because I was going to say, like, they were going to be like, how much does Cypher suck? Every single question.
No, it was a legit trivia quiz. It was really hard. It was very hard. All of the trivia questions were in different languages in honor of Cypher.
So good.
And Kevin over there beat it. Like,
congratulations.
Beat it.
Wow.
Great job.
It was amazing.
And that's all the
Gwenpool. He won a Gwenpool, what's the word for? Apron.
Nice.
Yeah, Gwenpool apron.
That's super cool.
And that's all the quizzes we've had.
Nice.
Well, there's one.
Is there another?
There's one more quiz.
That's all that we've had.
There's one more quiz that hasn't been unlocked.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're saying there might be another secret quiz.
You never know. You never know. On this show, there could be a quiz under my fucking hat. You never know.
You don't have a hat.
Exactly. You just unlocked the hat quiz. Everybody, come on down. It's all right. There are 10 types of hats, and we're going to name them all. Everyone is bowler.
Love it.
It's nothing like a good bowler hat, man.
Pete, can I talk about X-Men now?
Nope.
Or do you have more friendship business?
I just, you know.
Yeah, let's walk through more history.
It warms my heart to see Jordan D. White.
I'm happy to be here. I miss you guys.
Yeah, it's so great seeing you.
Now that Pete has laid down a layer of positivity on you here, he's going to now shit on your X-Men comics.
Buttered you up. He's going to drop that toast. So, X-Men, House of X, Powers of 10.
Yeah.
Is that officially what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Can you call it Powers of X?
I could. Why would I?
No,
that would be crazy.
You would be wrong.
I guess. No. Yeah, I mean, sure. Listen, if you only see it written, you wouldn't know. But
I just keep getting nervous every time I say it.
Okay. No. You're good. Okay. Listen, everybody is welcome in the House of X.
This is good.
That seems.
I don't think that's
opposite.
True.
If you're a mutant,
I don't think that's
if you're
true.
A mutant, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
so
that's
I think,
not true.
The last time you were on, this hadn't launched yet.
No,
this.
Had it even been announced yet? I don't even remember.
No, I don't think it had been.
No.
And were you working on it, or did you just wing it?
Oh, we've been working on this for over a year. So, yes.
I had a feeling.
Well, so that was going to be my big question, because right now, it's pretty clear how meticulously planned this all was. And something we've been talking about on our Stack podcast a little bit when we've been talking about the individual issues is oftentimes with a comic book event, it feels like, for whatever reason, and this isn't laying blame, but you get into an event, it feels very exciting at first, and they're like, great news, guys. The fourth issue is a little delayed for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Here, it does feel like... It feels like everything was completed in advance and ready in advance. How far were you in before it even launched? How much planning? What went into putting it together?
Well, like I said, planning a long time. I don't remember when exactly we had the meeting where Jonathan came into the office and pitched us what he wanted to do. It was definitely over a year ago. I just don't remember when exactly. I tried to look through my calendar at one point and find it, and I couldn't find it down there anymore.
Did you?
Well,
how did it come together? Was it approaching Jonathan Hickman and saying, hey, we want you to do X-Men, and then him coming up with his take? Did he walk in with a bold take? How did it come together?
He had been in talks with some higher-up people to work at Marvel, like Dan Buckley and stuff, people talking to him about things, and they were like, well, what would you be interested in doing if you came back? And he said, definitely X-Men. Mm-hmm. I've got an idea. Let me work it up, and then I'll come and pitch it to everybody. So he came into the office. When I became the editor of the X-Men line, there was kind of like people going, well, Jonathan's going to come in and talk to us with ideas. Nothing is set in stone, but we want to hear him out. Like, obviously, he's Jonathan Hickman. He's probably got a pretty decent idea. Let's find out.
But he's the kind of writer.
It's going to be pretty good.
I don't know. He stumbles into the office, notes everywhere.
Receipts.
Oh, jeez, I don't know. I've been up all night. I'm sorry.
He made it up on the spot. We had a house near us and an X, and he went, House of X. Perfect.
House near you. He's the kind of writer who's like, who's the laser eye guy again?
Yep.
Who's the fork hands guy?
Fork hands.
Fork hands. Fork claws.
And, of course, Jean Grey, a.k.a. Marvel Girl, he said. Yes. He was very clear on that.
He was very clear on that. Yes. No, he came in, obviously, super prepared with a very elaborate pitch. It wasn't... I'm not going to say it didn't change at all since then. It definitely has changed since then. But the big ideas were mostly there, and all the big ambitious stuff, including the big things publishing wise. Like, he came in and pitched us, all the X-Men books stop, and the only books that come out are House of X and Powers of 10, for as far as X-Men line goes.
You had to first hear that and be like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you get off?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, definitely, because we're going like, that's a lot of books.
Yeah, like, that's like, a lot. Yeah. There's like 80 X-Men books going
but
on right now.
But again, then he talks about how big the idea is and how big of a shift it's going to be for them, and then you kind of understand, well, if you had Wolverine continuing along the side of it, if you had Uncanny X-Men going along the side, you'd be going, well, one of these is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was such a big idea, and that's part of the reason that we did have to work so far ahead and that we can't really be late. I wish we were further ahead when we started than we were, but we were ahead enough that anything can happen.
Ooh,
the last two issues are not to the printer yet. One goes this week, one goes next week. But
I mean,
I think they're all going to come out on time.
Yeah,
at this point, that's a pretty good position to be in.
Yeah, yeah. 10 out of 12 weekly books, super top talent. I don't know how you feel about the text pages, but they take a lot of extra work.
Yeah, dude, what's up, man?
It's you got to delete all the pictures.
Did you tell that in the original pitch?
Delete the pictures.
Yeah. Pete's been bringing up pretty often that you're really cheating the artists by putting in these text pages and not paying them.
Well, like, what you should do is you should count the number of pages in the book, because you will quickly see that none of those text pages take away from art.
They're just bonus words.
They're all extra. I mean, they're vitally important to the story. You get information in them that I think you need to know. And he's trying a new... I mean, again, he went into it saying, like, I want to control the flow of reading in a different way. It's something he's done in, if you read Black Monday Murders, did it
great
as well.
Very similar, in the way it's laid out.
Yeah, very similar stylistic way of doing it, and it changes the way you read a book, and it changes the way you get information, because you'll be reading a scene about something, and then it'll be like, here's more information about that. And usually it's not superfluous. Like, it's not like,
it's
that's
important.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, was the original title of the book The House of Extra Words? And the short The House of X?
Yeah.
The
absolutely.
Powers of Extra Words?
Absolutely. Well, there is a lot of power in extra words.
Exactly. Oh, that's what I told you. Oh, that's why I talk a lot more to Pete.
Now, seriously, though.
Yeah.
You had to first hear this pitch and just be like, what the fuck? I mean, because he's coming at you going, listen, it's going to take place in three different times at once. It's mostly going to be words.
It's mostly words.
It's a lot of fucking words.
Again,
and then you give us
the
decoder thing
count
halfway
the number of
through.
Pages. Listen, yes. That all as much as I'm saying no to you, you are correct. When I heard the pitch, I was like, "This can't work." Now hold on before you think you're right though.
Yeah, don't let him think that.
I just want to enjoy it a little bit.
It wasn't for those reasons at all. It was, I mean, certainly I was very much like, "Are we going to be able to get away with stopping all the other books for sure?" Mm-hmm. There was a story reason that I was like, "I don't think we can do this."
That's exciting to know.
And
that.
I mean, partially just because of the bigness of the ideas, but also there was a very specific idea that I was like, I think that is not going
to
work.
I can't wait to ask you in 9 years.
It changed.
Oh, really?
Oh, that plot point?
That plot point changed. And once it did, I went, now I'm on board.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Was it? It sounds like you're not going to tell us what it is. But
no, I can't.
Well, is it something that has not... A point that has not happened yet in the book, or was it something?
It is something that affects the what you've read and what you haven't read. Okay. Both.
Given Cyclops two eyes.
Yep.
They already did that. That already came out. One of the things that's been really fascinating as a reading experience is
all the words.
All the words. Yep.
Jesus. Let me ask you, Pete. What's the appropriate number of words a comic book should have? Like 10?
Yeah.
Did you read Strangers in Paradise?
Yeah,
you did. Did you like flip out when you would get to the part where he'd go, now I'm just going to do a bunch of prose?
Yeah, no, I didn't read that.
You didn't read them?
No, I don't read when there's words. When it's just words, it's no longer a comic book.
No,
that's
you're right.
Not
but,
true.
But no, well, listen, I understand where you're coming from, but think about it this way, because I think this is a really good way to think about it. Mm. That is a thing that you can do with a comic book. What else could you do that with? What would happen? Mm. How could you possibly do that with a movie? You can't. You can't go, all right, now we're going to put the script up on the screen. That you physically couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So the closest somebody, we were talking about this at one point, the closest we came up with is if you were watching a TV show and then they like went, we're going to stop doing visuals and play a podcast. That's the closest you could go.
What a bummer.
Well, that is a bummer, and so that's not the best comparison, but
yeah,
you just bummed out all the people listening to this.
Yeah. Maybe they just broke into an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's just an interview. What if I was talking to you and then I just became words?
But yeah. You know what?
I would ignore you.
Well, but hang on, but we're joking
about
that. It would
be a great day of my life.
There you go.
We're joking about that because it sounds like a terrible idea, but...
But the opposite
somebody,
way, if you're listening to a podcast and then say, we came over to your house and started screaming in your face, you'd love that.
No, what I'm saying is somebody who's really brilliant could probably do something amazing with that.
Yes.
Yes. Like, words are good.
Right. Somebody could do a thing where all of a sudden you feel like you're having a different kind of experience watching a show or and like Jonathan's doing, reading a comic. And I think it works really well.
Just plus, he also uses numbers, which are like are the smaller words,
I appreciate.
Just to disagree with Pete for the first time in the history of the show,
sure.
I would say, personally, as somebody who tends to speed read through comics, and it usually is like, okay, 5 minutes and I'm done, I know now, particularly after the first issue of House of X, that when that issue comes in, I'm like, all right, I got to focus.
Yeah.
Like, this is the point when I am reading this book and I am focusing on this book and I'm not doing anything else. And I appreciate that as a longtime comic book reader.
It makes Alex turn off the TV show he's watching, the podcast he's listening to at double speed now, is it?
Yeah, double speed.
That's
I got to get through them.
That's horrifying.
I want to find out how Serial ends.
Yeah. Puts his kids to bed early at like 4 p.m. and that's when he reads.
They
got to
stay in bed because I got to read my comics and my books. And check out my movies and my TV shows. A lot of stuff happened on my phone on Twitter. That's blowing up.
This is how his mental breakdown starts.
I mean, I remember.
I have a second phone for Pokemon Go. What are you saying?
When the comic, again, I'm going to quote Alan, or talk about an Alan Moore comic again, sorry.
Risky.
When Providence was coming out, that was a great, great comic that he was writing like a year or two ago, two years maybe.
Love that comic.
When an issue would come out, I would try to read it on the train back to my home in Westchester, but I couldn't get through it in a 45-minute to an hour train ride because there's a ton of great text at the back that you
and honestly
read.
The text was sometimes better than the issue.
Sometimes it was.
Which is crazy to say in a comic book, but the text was so intense.
Absolutely. It was really enthralling.
Great comic.
Yeah. House of X, Powers of X.
Heard of it.
Yes. Let's get back to those.
Sure.
So
far, we're a year before it comes out.
We're working through it.
It's like Powers of Ten. That's timeline. That's
perfect. Now let's jump 100 years ahead. Looking back on this comic book 99 years ago, I have a question I'm sure you can't answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is that Professor X?
It's Frankencastle.
Okay.
That's not funny. That is not funny.
That explains a lot, actually.
That makes total sense.
And I have to say, thank you for bringing the character back.
Yeah. Of course.
We've all been writing.
It's not. You know, I was so happy to have you, and then you go and you fucking ruined it.
In the way that Moira, the many lives of Moira X, this is the many friendships of Pete LePage. And this one's going to need a hard restart. Right? Yeah. This one is ended.
This is Pete's sixth friendship, and we just don't know what's going on. Professor X, it feels like something we've talked about a lot here on the show is there seems to be something going on with him. Certainly when you have a masked character in a comic book, there's a lot of questions about is it actually that character or not.
Is it a mask, Alex, or is it a hat?
Ooh, Pete calls it a big old lollipop head.
It's a helmet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the helmet quiz is not yet unlocked.
Are we looking in the wrong direction there?
By wondering if it's not him?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give a definitive answer because part of the fun that people are having in reading this book is speculating so much. And it comes out, and here's the thing. If we were talking about a book that came out monthly, I might be more willing to be like give you a yes or no on that in some sense. But it comes out weekly. It's really not that long before last issue is out. So
let me say, I was very suspicious of if it was Professor X from the first couple issues. Now I am much less suspicious. I do think it's Professor X.
That's how he got you. He got you, man.
You got got. Oh,
now,
shit.
Now let me ask you, like, were you worried at all about the gamble that this comic is taking? About the fact that, like, this is... You're not only putting other books on hold to make this big choice, but also this is taking the whole team and kind of putting them in this whole kind of situation where it's not like you can halfway through go like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, you
got to be committed. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
If this book was tanking right now, we would be so much in trouble.
Yeah, because it's going on for years.
Yeah. We got a lot of big plans.
Yeah.
Of course I was concerned. That said, I thought it was a really great story, and I know that Jonathan is a great writer, and I'm behind it 100%. So do I think it's a gamble? Of course. There's always a risk that people are going to say, that's not what we like about X-Men, or that's not...
That's exactly what I said.
Well, that's fine. You're wrong. That's okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
You think Peter Parker should be married to Mary Jane.
Hell yeah, I do!
So you're wrong. That's fine.
Thank you.
This is good.
Thank you. The groans from the audience.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right.
The rest of us are happy.
One of the things from a thematic sense that I think is really fascinating about this run that I've seen people talk about online quite a bit is what you can read into it in terms of the metaphor. Like, forgetting about the plot stuff for a second, as always with the X-Men, a lot of different minority groups see themselves in this book in very different ways. Is there... one in
particular. Is there one that's right? Is that what you're asking me?
He's hoping it's him. He's hoping it's him.
But that's motherfucker.
Is there one that's right, and why is it the Jews? Because it's a Zionist state, right? Thank you for answering that. Thank you for settling that. Thanks for coming on the show. It's time for our next section, which is where we talk about Jews.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That made me very nervous.
You did say it. You said it almost all the way. You added a couple extra E's to Jews.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway.
Everybody is welcome to read into it whatever they want to, and that's the greatness of X-Men. Again, that's one of the strengths of the X-Men as a metaphor for a long time. It's not about any of those things. It's about all of those things and none of those things. It's about mutants, which are a thing that, for all the metaphors that are drawn, don't perfectly fit any of them.
That's why it's good to... not defining it, it makes it sort of everyone can read, like you just said, read into it.
Yeah.
I think I'm most excited about this, besides the fact that it's great, in that it is like finally like a definitive take on this is what the X-Men are right now.
Yeah.
Read this, and the fact that you have Jonathan Hickman, who is able to synthesize so much of the history of the X-Men into the story he's telling, is just an added bonus.
I mean, he said publicly a number of times he didn't want to do X-Men's greatest hits. He didn't want to do the standards of X-Men. He wanted to go new places with it and set new, take the story into different places and new directions. And I think he's very much done that. As we record this, issue 4 of House of X is about to come out, which is a pretty big issue. But issue 5 of House of X is a huge issue where things change for the X-Men in a pretty big way, in a great way, I think, and in a way that will make things very interesting going forward. And we'll see how that goes.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course. What? That's why I'm here.
Now, what happens in House of X 5 that's so big?
Just
tell us that.
Yep.
Knowing us a little bit.
Sure.
Watch out.
Do you think maybe one of us will be happy with how
one
this...
One of you will definitely be happy.
Oh, really?
No,
will,
not you.
Will two of us be happy?
Yeah.
Nah, right, okay.
You know for a fact that I'll hate this?
No, I don't know for a fact that you'll hate this. I hope that you will love it. That said, we've like you said, we've been friends a long time. I know you hate a lot of good comics.
Ooh, whoa, okay.
You hate a lot of good comics is what I was trying to say. Wow, I screwed it up.
Yeah, you did.
Well, because again, one of my favorite conversations we ever had. I mean, I'm probably rehashing a conversation from the podcast. I can't remember if it was on the
We do
or
that
not.
A lot. It's fine.
Was when we talked about the Punisher, and I said, "What do you want? A story where the Punisher goes? Well, all done. Crime's done. I guess I'll be happy for the rest of my life." And you said, "Yeah, of course I do." And I was like, "You are wrong. Yeah. That is the worst Punisher comic ever written. Unless new crime pops up and he has to murder it, then it's boring and awful." And so you don't like when characters suffer hardship, and that's kind of the heart of all stories. So I don't know what to tell you.
That's true.
We had a very long conversation about this last week, me and Pete, about House of X and Powers of
Ten. He made me talk about my feelings. It was rough.
He was very uncomfortable. You should have seen him in person. It was great. He was just like all bunched up like a little bean.
Yeah.
But that was part of it, that there's... Because it is very slowly piecing out information with the breakneck speed of the action at the same time, I feel like, Pete, you're feeling this conflict there where you like the action and you're excited about that, but at the same time, the fact that they're not just giving you the whole story up front is frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Well, let's talk about it this way for a moment. Let's see. So before House of X and Powers of Ten, the X-Men were at a very low point. Things were going very poorly for them. Things don't feel to me so far in the series like they're going that poorly for them anymore. They seem to be a little bit on an upswing. And you do know for sure that the X-Men books are not canceled. We announced a whole new line of books. So you can assume that some things will go okay in some way. So maybe you'll be happy. What is your biggest fear for House of X and Powers of Ten?
That's a good one.
I probably won't quell it, but I want to know what it is. What are you afraid will happen?
That Wolverine is on the wrong side of history.
Oh, okay. Whoa, that's a very interesting version. Day. Yeah.
So this gets to another thing that Justin, you were saying you moved on from a little bit. I've kind of kept it in the back of my head, and Pete has internalized as his whole personality at this current point.
Is it about Cyclops?
What?
Is it about Cyclops?
Kind of. It's the first two pages of the first issue.
Oh, yeah.
Where Professor X, very weird, like a weird dude, comes out, calls a bunch of the X-Men out of some sort of pod things. And says,
I love that the body language he has in that scene. It's so great.
It's very upsetting and terrifying, and certainly that's something. Well, that's the thing that I've been kind of holding on to, being like, is there going to be a twist at some point down the road where we loop back to that? Because structurally, it feels like you have those first two pages. Let's put all this material in front of that so you forget about that for a little while, which is why personally I've been holding on to it. And again, Pete, I think you've completely internalized that as, no, he has some weird body language. They're all evil. Am I following the evil X-Men at this point?
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think it's as simple as that at the same time.
Well, for sure. Nothing is ever going to be simple like that. I mean, obviously, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I will say we wouldn't just put two pages there randomly and never
what? Come back. They were just stuck in the printer, right? They were stuck in the printer from another comic.
Printing mistake?
So obviously, you know, you will learn stuff about what that is and why and how and...
My read of, and this was very from reading the first two issues, I think, was that that was after the X-Men have won and beaten back all the robots. Jonathan Hickman hates robots. And the humans sort of died off. That was him birthing the first humans again.
Interesting. Okay.
Bringing back humanity.
That's an interesting idea. I can't comment on it.
Great. Please don't comment. I just wanted to say it to your face, and I will analyze it in my dreams.
Love it. I do want to jump back to something you said earlier. It was interesting that you talked about Jonathan Hickman not wanting to rehash the hits.
Yeah.
Because one of the other things, and I don't think he has, he's been telling his own story, but one of the things that I've been really enjoying about every issue is it feels like each issue almost individually hits on a different touchstone of X-Men history.
Sure.
Is that something that's there by design as well?
Well, I don't, I mean, not in the sense that we were like, we got to do Hush for the X-Men. Like, but like, I mean, again, on some level, yeah, he is writing a big, huge X-Men story, and it's not going to be 100% out of left field and all new stuff. So it's still the same X-Men who lived through all that stuff for the first time. We want to touch on it in some level, but again, but it's not going to just be the same story. A lot of people, when the first issue of Powers of 10 came out, am I right about that? Yes, when the first issue of Powers of 10 came out, people were going, so you're just doing Days of Future Past again. And I think by now you can see, well, he's not quite doing that. Like it had echoes of that in certain ways.
It's Days of Future Future.
In a different way.
Well, now, after this big event, can you
will it go back to regular Wolverine?
Yeah, can you dumb it back down again, or is this always going to be heady shit that Hickman is like?
Or are you going to do six timelines?
That's a great question. What we're going to do is Jonathan is going to continue on writing X-Men, and he's going to be working very closely with me, and has been working very closely with me to oversee the whole line. When we say that we're setting up the future of X-Men, we're really serious. This is the stuff that's in House of X and Powers of 10, this is the foundation of what X-Men is going to be for, fingers crossed, everything goes well, years and years and years.
Yes.
But again, that's hold on. That's the foundation. That doesn't mean it's going to read exactly like House of X and Powers of 10. There's going to be multiple books. They're going to be written by different people, various people, but Jonathan is involved, and we want to keep everything connected, and like it feels like it's one universe of stories. So we've announced at this point six books. Like I said, X-Men is the first one. Jonathan's writing it. Lanil Yu is drawing it. And we haven't said a lot about what these books are yet because there's stuff you don't know about the end of that book.
Makes sense.
We've shown a couple of the covers for X-Men. The first cover is a big thing of the Summers clan and Wolverine. But we've also said that book will have kind of a rotating cast.
Is that because Wolverine is now going to be Cyclops' devoted son in that book?
You'll see.
What the fuck?
That'd
man.
Be fun.
How did that feel?
Or assistant or butler.
Ooh.
That would be
like
fun.
Like the butler of Pete. The Summers Club?
Actually, I have a really important question for Pete.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
It feels
like sometimes you're at Marvel going, what would Biz beat off the most?
I mean, it certainly helps. What? It's a nice barometer. What are your feelings on Scott and Jean's marriage? Are you as devoted to that marriage as you are to certain other marriages?
No.
He hates
No,
Cyclops.
You hate it.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Scott is a douchebag and Jean is a good person and they shouldn't be together.
You remember when Jean and Wolverine were kind of flirting all the time?
Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
Yep.
Oh, because he's Wolverine.
Yep.
All right.
And he's a better person.
I have a question for you then, Pete.
He's a mutant flirting factor.
If Wolverine broke up Spider-Man and Mary Jane's marriage, would that be okay with you?
No.
Wolverine goes on Mary Jane?
Okay.
No.
Here's a new pitch. Wolverine.
What the fuck?
Wolverine.
You're a grown adult.
Wolverine finds out that his son killed Frank Castle, went, what? I could kill him better. Cuts him up even more.
You're an editor at Marvel. Why are you having these thoughts? This makes me so mad.
That's his job, is to workshop these stories.
This is so horrible. You've got to be doing better than this.
I'm not supposed to talk about this because I signed an NDA,
but
I got to sit on a couple of Marvel summits,
and
the first thing they say every time is, okay, what's going to piss Pete off?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's where they start. And then everybody goes off into their own room. They kind of figure out a bunch of storylines. They're like, here, you're Pete's going to lose his shit over this.
They brought me in as sort of a character witness a lot, as sort of a person who's good at it.
A lot of people would say that Marvel whittling down its audience base to one person they're trying to alienate is a bad business idea, but it's been working so far. Yeah. The movies are doing great as well.
So, but wait, I'm sorry, I will get back to the other books, but I just want to know more about this. Did you like Cyclops with Emma?
He hates Cyclops.
You just don't like Cyclops with anyone.
He wants him to be a far, just hiding somewhere.
Those two together made sense to me.
Because
they're both evil people.
Okay, sure. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So you do not want Cyclops and Jean to get back together?
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. I mean, you know they kissed the other time, right?
Wow.
What do you mean?
This is
like a couple issues ago at the end of Rosenberg's run, they like kissed when they kissed.
Oh, that's right. That did happen.
Yeah.
So Rosenberg's killing it on Punisher, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. He's doing a good job.
Holy shit.
Absolutely.
You saw that scene, though, right? That Cyclops and Jean Grey, they kissed, and then Wolverine came up and he's like, I'll come back with the finger savages.
Because it's when he's
the butler.
That was a Canadian accent.
Yeah. It was
The other books.
Oh, yeah, the other books. So we're doing a book called Marauders, which is a book I love. It's super cool. It's written by Jerry Duggan, and it's got art by Matteo Loli. The team is Kitty Pryde, Storm, Iceman, Emma Frost, Bishop, and Pyro. And it's like a pirate book.
What? Wow.
Very cool.
They're on a pirate ship, and we've said that she's Captain Kate. I can't say anything more about it than that, but like again, when you finish House of X and Powers of 10, you can understand a little bit better how a pirate book fits into this.
Very cool.
So you're saying at the end of this, pirates will make sense.
I think pirates will make sense. I mean, listen, they probably make a little bit of sense now, but they'll make more sense then.
Yeah.
And you'll understand better the reason that book is what it is, but it's a really, really good book. What else we got? Excalibur, which is a book Teenie Howard is writing, and it's being drawn by Marcus Toe. It is starring the new Captain Britain, who is Betsy Braddock, taking the Captain Britain name.
Nice.
And then a new team that she's working with of Rogue and Gambit and Richter. And who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting, I think, two other people. Well, I wasn't forgetting Apocalypse. I was definitely saving Apocalypse for last, but I feel like there was another one
Blade.
That I forgot. Oh, Jubilee. That's who it was.
There it
Jubilee.
Is.
So the crazy one is Jubilee. No, Apocalypse, obviously, is a slightly strange one. And we're dealing with magic stuff in that. We're not saying too much about exactly what that means, but what is magic?
And magic will make more sense at the end of the...
We can... No, you won't put down six and go, I get magic now.
Okay.
When you put down six, we can explain more about how it fits in a little bit on that one. We got X-Force coming up, written by Ben Percy. It's going to be really great. Art by Josh Cassara. Yeah, you're going to love it. It stars Wolverine and Jean and Beast and
Wolverine
Domino.
Wolverine and Jean together?
Yeah. And Beast and Domino and Sage and Quentin Quire.
Whoa!
Nice.
Wow.
And yeah, I got bored.
Yeah, that's also a badass book. The art is so great, and Ben is writing some twisted comics. It's really, really good.
Oh, that's cool.
New Mutants, which Jonathan Hickman is writing the first arc of, but then with Ed Brisson co-writing the beginning and then taking over the book. We haven't said too much about this book, but we do know that it's the original New Mutants going to find their absent friend. And I don't mean fine because he's missing. Everybody knows where he is. It just is difficult to get there. He has got to go all the way to Shi'ar space. To find... listen, it's Cannonball, guys.
Ooh.
That's who he's looking for.
Good, I like him.
Yeah, he's great. and then Fallen Angels, which, again, we haven't said too much about, besides it is being written by Brian Edward Hill. It's being drawn by Simon Kudransky. It stars Psylocke, who... is not the Betsy Braddock Psylocke, but rather Quanon taking the name Psylocke. Yep. Young Cable. I say Young Cable only to clarify. We just call him Cable. They don't walk around going, hey, Young Cable. He would definitely hate that. And also X-23.
All right.
Yeah, the three of them are going to be on a team where, some dark stuff happens on that book.
So I got to say, when Wolverine died a while back in X-23,
23 took over the comic. Really, really well done.
Oh, you liked it?
Cool. Yeah, it was so, I was like angry in the beginning, but so moved by it.
So you must have been real torn when he came back.
Yeah, I was. Because I almost didn't want him to come back because they were doing such a great job with her.
So where'd you end up now? Like, do you want him to go back away? Or are you like, no, he's Wolverine.
He should go back in that little statue. Just be in there reading.
Kitty could just phase him back in. It's fine.
Yeah. So right now, House of X, Powers of 10, very focused on line, right? Then you're...
Very focused on what?
Very focused. Yes. The X-Men story overall is very focused. Yes. That's all that's going on.
That's only books you can buy.
Six titles.
Yep, six titles.
Are they all heading in different directions? Are they all having their own tones? Is there...
Yeah. They're all, again, they're all of a piece. They're all telling the story of, and then I don't want to say any, what, like in the sense that they're all telling a story of this world and different aspects of it. And, I mean, I don't know, kind of like... I think the best eras of X-Men in the past, they will do their own thing, and every once in a while they will crisscross and they will come together. Characters from one will appear in the other.
Crossover.
Because they're all part of the same world of X-Men and the same story of the mutants of Earth. So you can definitely, if you're like, I'm interested in pirate stories and magic stories, and that's it, like, you're welcome to buy those ones, and they will totally make sense and read well on their own. If you want to read the whole line and get the whole story of mutant kind, it'll work even better. You'll see all the echoes and all the, not echoes, but like all the places where they connect and where they crisscross and whatnot.
Echoes.
I know this isn't exactly your department, but eventually when House of X and Powers of 10 are finished.
Sure.
Do you have any plans on how to collect it? Because I know there are two.
For House and Powers?
Yeah.
It's just going to be one collection.
Just one collection.
I think they've already solicited. There's going to be a hardcover. Okay. It's going to have all 12 issues in it.
Oh, that's great.
In release order, so it will be simplified.
Cool.
For people who go, I don't know. I mean, we do have a read order in the back as well of every issue, so it shouldn't be too tricky. But still, cool. the collected edition will collect them all together.
And you're supposed to read all the words.
All the words, yeah, ideally.
Okay.
Boo.
I guess we didn't put that on the read order. Make
you
sure you
put
read,
in,
the,
read all the
words. Non-picture pages. Yeah. Oh, geez.
Have Professor X say it in one of the issues. Hey, guys, read all the words.
That'd be cool.
Here's what you got to do. Just imagine... like a thought balloon around all of the text pages that somebody's thinking those things.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
Have someone draw it in.
I know.
I will say, it's
if
funny,
you bring me your copies, I'll draw it in.
It's funny you haven't been reading them because most of the words have been about how Cyclops sucks, right?
Yeah, that's what they
and
are.
You've
about.
Been completely missing that.
Oh man, that's the little decoder thing. That's
that's what Krakoa is always talking about. How much Cyclops sucks.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, guys. That is it for this guy.
What?
No, he stays around, Alex.
Oh, okay, bye-bye.
I got confused because we're not doing the stack tonight, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. What was that?
That was a classic Alex transition. He says, that's it for this guy.
Woo! We're going to move to our next section, which is audience questions. Before that, though, I wanted to mention our sponsor again.
Oh, nice.
Skilly World. S-K-I-L-L-I World. That's how you spell it, Pete. Again, True or False Trivia Tournaments, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, a variety of topics. You can get on the App Store and rate it there. Definitely check them out. It's a ton of fun, as well on Instagram, at Skilly World. I see this guy already has his hand up. What is your name? What is your question, sir?
Hi, my name is Keir, and a quick side question. What part of Westchester are you from?
I live up in Croton, and it's still
Croton Harmon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, cool.
That's the stop. Yeah, that's the train stop.
Yes,
I live in White Plains.
Delightful.
My girlfriend lives in Mayapak. So.
I moved from Forest Hills to Westchester, so I moved from where Spider-Man lived to where the X-Men live.
Oh, cool.
Whoa. On purpose? Because now you're in charge of the X-Men books?
No, that's how they choose the editor.
Yeah,
right?
That's how they. Exactly. They were like, well, who's closest to Sam?
Dude, continuity is important, dude.
Yeah, you know, so. You're right. You're right.
But more important question, you mentioned how Jonathan Hickman made a pitch. And my question to you is, when you and the other editors are hearing a pitch, what is the one thing that you're looking for from a pitch that makes you go, oh, yeah, we should totally do this?
Awesomeness? I mean, honestly, there's not one thing. It's a compelling story. And I mean, first of all, I should clarify that we don't usually have that happen. It's not usually bring in that writer and they'll talk to us. Like, that's very rare. Mm-hmm. Jonathan is awesome and a big deal. And it was a big deal getting him back to Marvel. So we set up a big meeting.
So be big.
Well, yes, be super famous. If you are super famous, that helps a lot.
Okay.
Work on it. sorry, that sounded
all right. Got
mean.
It. Got it. I have to go.
But so a lot of time, most of the time, people are pitching us stories through text, through email, or over the phone.
Texting you?
No, I meant text.
I'll text you something.
Okay. Yeah. The important note: do not send an unsolicited pitch ever.
So don't text any editor's ideas.
Never. Never.
Unless you're famous.
Oh, okay. No. Even if you're famous, you have to wait for them to say, yeah, I'd love to hear that idea.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to hear an idea? And then you can text back, yeah, I want to hear an idea. And then they text it.
There would be more steps in between.
Okay. Because
there's legal reasons. I only clarify that because I know that is a thing that people like to, like, for example, tweet ideas at editors. Hey, I've got an idea for a story about this. We are not legally allowed to read that or consider any of those things.
Okay. Can I text you, like, other fun stuff, like water slides?
I would do you mean water slides you've been on or your ideas for water slides?
I want to say both.
I can't do the ideas for water slides.
You can't do ideas for water slides?
What if we want to make a water slide? Then you're going to sue us.
This is why the comics industry is failing, man.
Exactly. Because my water slide goes upside down.
Let me just say, for the record, we're already working on X-Men water slides. You didn't give me the idea. We were already doing that.
Oh. Okay, no problem.
Anyway, so yeah, just a great story that we love is what we're looking for. I mean, if there was a key to it, then everybody would already be pitching that thing, and then everybody would be sick of
it. That's true.
But so there you go. Be famous, text, water slides. Got it.
Got it.
Good question. You're going to get some free comics. I see another hand over here. What's your name? What's your question? And how close do you live to Westchester?
I am John. I don't know where Westchester
That's fine.
Is.
Don't even know where it is. Okay.
Wow. So,
the accent's telling a story.
Yeah. But with the mixed prose comic book nature of House of X Powers of 10, at the Keystone Comic Con, I picked up Neon Wasteland, which is like an augmented reality.
Oh.
Like mixed media kind of thing. And I was thinking about the Invisibles and how it was conceived as like a kind of meta ritual spell.
Yes.
Mm. What's the best stroke weirdest mixed media like use of the format that you've seen or that you want to see?
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, wow.
Interesting.
Wow, I'm trying to think what we've seen that was like that. Well, back a bazillion years ago, one of the first, this is not, I'm not saying I did the best. I'm just talking about one that I did. I worked on a long time ago when I was an assistant editor.
We I remember did, those days.
Yeah.
All right, we get it. You know him, Pete.
We did, do you remember Galacta?
Yeah, dude.
We did an assistant editor project where the assistant editors got to work with whoever they wanted for the most part and like, you know, do whatever crazy idea they came up with. And I worked
had,
with
like a lot of tweeting in that issue. And
that's what I was going to say. I worked with Adam Warren on this character, Galacta, the daughter of Galactus. And it was very early in the days of Twitter. And we gave her a Twitter account and tweeted as her for like weeks before the book came out with like no one noticing or caring because again, the book didn't happen yet. So they didn't know. And then when the book came out, Adam tweeted all the things in the issue over the course of the day it came out. So all of that was there. I think her account's still up there somewhere. But that was a lot of fun. And it was, again, it was at this point, everybody's used Twitter, so it's not as exciting sounding as it was. But it was neat.
For those
at the
of us who haven't, what is it?
Okay.
What happens on there?
It's a great thing that helps society in all ways.
Oh, wow.
That truly is a hot take.
That's a hot take.
The hottest take, that's a hot take on Twitter.
That's just a random one. But I do love things that experiment with the medium in general and things that do try to bring in other things. And I don't know that I've read necessarily enough of the truly experimental ones to really give a great answer. But I also used to work on the Infinite comics, which were super, super fun.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't really catch on, so we don't really do them anymore. Same with, we used to do these AR activations in all Marvel comics, literally all Marvel comics for like I don't know, a good 6-8 months had AR in them. So you could put your smartphone on it and go like, well, and sometimes you'd get something super relevant. And sometimes you'd get me and Nick Lowe wearing backwards baseball caps going, oh, you got danger roomed. And it was really dumb.
Got danger roomed.
Because there were multiple times when Brian Bendis wrote scenes into X-Men where you don't realize it's the danger room until they go like, all right, end the simulation. And we were like, oh, you got danger roomed. It was really stupid. It was incredibly painfully stupid. I think you can still find those on YouTube, which is crazy.
Didn't your cat?
My cat did. I have a puppet of my cat, and he used to do summaries of things. He would explain stories. He explained the history of the Ancient One. He explained the Rings of the Mandarin. Wow. He did summaries of a bunch of comics. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
And again, I think you can find them online if you search for Scape Marvel, something like that, or Scapey Marvel. Scapey. Anyway, that was my cat's name.
Yeah,
cool. Great question. Let's get one more question. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. Now, talking about your friendship with podcasters.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Which X-Men character would you want to see host a non-narrative podcast? So nothing like Long Night.
Non-narrative. Oh, okay. So wait, so as in
what would the subject be?
Okay, so like Comic Book Club for...
Whatever.
Right, no, I know. They're not talking about comic books. Obviously, they would never do that. Except maybe Cypher.
Sure.
That'd be fun.
That's a great question.
That's what we sort of do, is Cypher hosting a comic book.
Do you actually speak a lot of languages?
Yeah.
No, he does not. And we heard him try to do the accents. Not great.
I barely speak English.
I don't think Wolverine could get the technology together to do a hockey podcast, but he wouldn't mind doing one.
Somebody
else got it together for him. He's from Canada. Get out of here.
Well, but he doesn't talk about hockey a lot.
He has talked about hockey.
Who's his team?
Points. Oh, I don't know. I don't know enough about hockey to answer that.
He should really choose a team.
Oh,
I would love to see actually Wolverine and Cyclops host a podcast together. Like a super, 5-minute long one, all about women, and they could call it Jean Shorts.
Oh wow. Wow. They're not just going to call it Jorts?
That was a long way to go around the barn.
Who else would make a good podcast? I mean,
Deadpool
I feel like
would be
you
great.
Could, Well, Deadpool's not a mutant or an X-Man.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
He's dead to me now. He's in a different
Dude, office. That's you, fucked up,
I'm
man.
Kidding. I'm you, kidding. I still love him. I'm joking. That was a joke. Of course I still... He has a place in my heart forever. We lived together as partners for so long.
That's what I was going to say.
But he would do a terrible podcast. Are you kidding me?
It would be
no, absolutely not. It would be over the top and annoying and awful. He would have way too many jokes. He wouldn't be able to hold a thread of an idea ever.
There would be breaks where he would go and make chimichangas and then come back.
I want to know what kind of a podcast Gambit would do. I hope it's not a seduction podcast, but it probably is, like where he just seduces the listener.
Just in case
that we sort of do that as well.
that's why I'm here.
What about
that's how you got me.
Seduced. What about a Forge podcast where a DIY thing where you talk everyone through a project?
That would be amazing because it would not work for anyone else.
Yeah.
No. He would be like, so you just put these together and it works. And they'd be like, what? It never works.
I used to date Storm.
Who would you guys want to see? Pete?
Hmm.
You already said Deadpool.
Yeah, I did. I would kind of like a Ben Grimm podcast, so just him talking about just living on Yancey Street and things that bother him.
Yancey talk?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say...
Talking Yancey?
Yeah. I was going to say it's yabbering time.
Ooh, nice. That's pretty good.
JT Sizzle.
Got it right there. What about just a sad podcast where Foggy Nelson just walks through his
day? Oh, you're a fucking asshole.
He talks about how his friend's not around.
Foggy weather.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Another episode of Foggy Weather here. Matt's not around this episode.
So I'm handling the legal stuff, sort of. I lost another case.
Yeah.
You know,
I only found one of my socks this morning.
Foggy is good at his job, you assholes.
Yeah, but bad at life.
You know, Mary Jane is a supermodel, so she could probably do a podcast about her love life and all the guys she's dating.
Oh, probably.
That's not funny, man.
We could do a podcast where we just troll Pete.
Yeah. That is the, that's all this podcast? Is.
Yeah.
That's why
you,
I'm
Alex?
Here, really. What would I want to see?
Yeah. Or hear.
What would I want to hear? I don't know if this... I know she's not a mutant. Gwenpool would probably do a better podcast than Deadpool.
Way better than Deadpool. Yeah, sorry, Deadpool.
Probably a very confrontational podcast. I feel like she'd have on superhero guests and be like, hey, we have Spider-Man here, a.k.a. Peter Parker. And he'd be like, what the fuck?
He would have to censor it. Yeah. Absolutely. No, she would, because again, she's a fan. So she could absolutely host an in-world superhero podcast and talk. And she would, you'd love it. Pete, because she would bring up all the terrible things that have happened and be like, why did you do that? What's wrong with you? Like, you would love Gwenpool's podcast.
Confrontation.
That would be great. Yeah.
She would absolutely have Cyclops on and be like, you were making out with Emma on Jean's grave. What is wrong with you?
Yeah! I'm sold on it. That'd be so great.
Tell you what, we'll text you about it later.
All right, perfect.
100%.
All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. LePage, the star of this section.
Oh, man, I really hate you. It was nice while you were gone.
But who said the star of trivia stuff?
Nobody. Wow. I feel like you won it sooner than he did. Right?
Pete, explain what's happening real quick.
All right, so I got two people with their hands up, and I'm trying to see who hasn't won it and, you know, nope. How long it's
explain
been.
Explain what you're doing at all.
Yeah, true.
And you're going to call up people from the audience.
Yeah.
It's his favorite part of the show.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts about watching, like, the Oscars is when the host comes out and is like, holy shit! Wow!
Look at all these people.
Oh,
that actor already's got his hand up. I guess he's just giving it to him.
Best actor.
First hand up guy gets their Oscar.
Meryl, you've won it more recently. Glenn, you can't have it.
Sir, you over there, come on up. You're going to get it.
So how this is going to work? How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right. $25 yours, and you would, if you had $25, you'd go to a comic book shop. So it's a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. All right, so today's trivia is on topical comic news. All right, question number one. CW shows Flash, Supergirl, and Arrow are all getting blank. Is it their own audio series, B, their own spinoffs, or C, Bob Newhart? So it's either A.
The answer is A.
A is correct.
That is right. Nice job.
Arrow's getting his own audio series, and I'm excited about it.
Partway through the show, it turns into a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at the end of the
show. It's all podcasts now.
I can't wait to not listen to them.
Great. Yeah, I know. All right, question number two. Can't get enough Jughead? Well, Archie Comics can't either. His comic series is called blank. Is it A, Jughead Road Trip? He rates burgers across the country. B, Jughead Time Police? Just a lot of shitty Jugheads. Or is it C, George C. Scott? So it's either A, and you won't win, or you could pick B, and you might.
It's Time Police.
It is Time Police.
Nice.
Question number three. Who is the president of the United States in DC's Legion of Superheroes Millennium number one? Is it A, Gorilla Grodd, B, Supergirl, or C, Ava Gabor? Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, I killed it. So it's either A, and you won't win.
So it's B, Supergirl.
B, Supergirl, yeah.
Nice job.
Wait, it's $25.
She's president of the United States?
Supergirl?
Supergirl, yeah.
She wasn't born here.
Yeah, wow, dude, look at you. This is a lot in the future.
That's not about immigrants. That's just the Constitution says you have to be born here. That wasn't a judgment.
Neither was Ava Garble, okay?
And look how far she's come.
Yeah, she's come a long way.
She's come a long way, baby.
Pete holds a secret trivia quiz as the third answer to his quiz. Usually it's a John Candy movie, though he's running low on those, so I'm curious to see what happens. What are your third answers here, Pete?
It is Bob Newhart, George C. Scott, and Ava Garble.
You really garbled the answer there.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to see your face
again. Do you know what it is, Kevin? Yeah? What is it?
I was expecting Ava
Garbo for the last one because it's the Rescuers Down Under.
That's right.
Wow.
Animated favorite. Rescuers Down Under.
Woo.
That's
very cool.
Didn't see that coming.
Very
1990s hit.
Great.
Yep.
Now, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot of great stuff coming out.
Great.
Punisher number 15.
Yeah.
Spawn number 300.
Uh-huh.
Curse Words number 24.
Now, have you been reading Spawn throughout the whole?
Nope.
Oh, but you're getting into it right now.
I'm going to check it out.
No, cool.
Cool.
Which cover are you going to get?
Oh, there's so
cover
many.
Cover Q?
Yeah, maybe.
That's how many there are.
There's a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
What's going on with Spawn? Is he still from hell?
Yeah.
Is he in hell? Is
his from cape hell.
Move around a lot?
It does.
Is there still a timer ticking down?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
No,
that was my favorite part of the superhero, is the clock. I'm looking forward to House of X number 4.
Yay.
Obviously, very excited for that. Also, Alpha Flight True North.
Yeah.
Very excited for that as well.
We're going to have a review of that in our Stack podcast, which posts Wednesday, 9 a.m., both in the Comic Book Club feed and in its own Stack feed. I'm looking forward to Something Is Killing the Children number 1, which is coming out tomorrow. This is from James Tynan from Boom Studios. This is a new horror book that has a lot of hype behind it. We'll have a review of that as well. But James Tynan writes a good horror book, so I'm very excited. Jordan, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, House of X, Powers of 10 issues are coming out right now. You should check them out. They're the foundation of X-Men going forward for hopefully for years to come. Also, if you listen to this podcast, you obviously know that I love Sailor Moon because I talked about it so much this episode. I have another podcast that I do with my co-podcaster Chris Sims. It's called Sailor Business. We are going through every episode of Sailor Moon. We're in the last season of it now.
Wow.
I think 170. It's up on Hulu now. But yeah, the one that only came to America in the last like 2 years or a year or so. We're like 170 something episodes in out of 200. It's a lot of fun. And if you love Sailor Moon, you'll probably have a good time listening to it.
Awesome. Definitely all of that out. Couple of things before we go. Once again, thank you to our sponsor, Skilly World, this episode. Check them out on the iTunes App Store. Rate them and review them. That's Skilli World. You can also check them out on Instagram at the same place, skillyworld.com. And remember, it's real money, true or false trivia tournaments, $500 guaranteed every night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, for the comic book audience, there's a Batman night coming up that you can check out, so that should be pretty cool, and you'll definitely, we guarantee, win $500.
Wait,
right, guys?
No,
true.
Right, guys?
True. Or we'll pay you.
We'll pay you.
We will pay you.
If you don't win it, we will pay you. Just text us and let us know.
And there's a notary in the audience who just sealed this as legal.
That's how notaries. Yeah, they put a wax stamp on each of our foreheads.
Two or three people agreed to this.
Couple of things also to mention. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can get a bunch of fun bonuses there. We have a Slack that people hang out and chat in. We have a monthly movie night, other bonuses like that. We also have a couple of other podcasts that we can plug. We have Preacher Man. Our Preacher podcast is currently ongoing. Also, Riverdale After Dark. Our Riverdale podcast will be coming back very soon, in about a month. And we have a new podcast that will be going live very soon called Watchmen Watch, which is going to be a Watchmen podcast. We are going to be, of course, recapping the show when it premieres on October 20th. But leading up to that, we're going to be checking out every issue of Watchmen and chatting about that as well. It's like a little comic book club, sort of.
Yes. Wow. Interesting. Hmm. I've never thought of it that way.
Huh.
I've never listened to the middle word.
Wait, is Pete reading the text parts? Because they're important to
No.
Hell no.
We go to him for the pictures.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, there's a man in this one.
We have a couple of sections of the podcast. One of the sections is, and now it's time for Pictures with Pete LePage.
The star of Pictures is Pete LePage, and he walks us through the pictures he sees.
It's a fun podcast. What else do we want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jordan
Boone!
Boone Pride! But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming, people. Thank you. Appreciate it.